In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. So on this reading from God's word, may he add his blessing to it. Well, this, if you have been here for this Mark series not that long ago, is very, very similar to what you find in Mark 6 and the feeding of the 5,000. And so a lot of people think, well, if you don't believe in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and in the reliability of the Gospels, then you would easily say, well, this must be the same story, just told with slightly different details and embellished a little bit, and that's what's going on here. But that fails to account for the fact that this is not simply inspired by the Holy Spirit, but also based on eyewitness accounts. And there are key things about it that are completely different. It is a similar story, but we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus does similar things in different places. The first one, the feeding of the 5,000, that was with an audience of Jewish people who were expecting the Messiah to be the one who would feed them when they were hungry. But this passage, the feeding of the 4,000, most likely happens in Gentile territory. Jesus has been in the Decapolis. If you can ever picture a map of Israel, maybe you can't, and that's okay. There's the Mediterranean Sea over here. There's the Sea of Galilee north of Jerusalem here. And then most of the western side of the Sea of Galilee is Jewish territory. But most of the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee is Gentile territory. And that's where Jesus has been. Mark, in his gospel, even though it's the shortest of the four, is very geographically conscious. And so it would be unusual for Jesus to change settings without Mark saying, and then they went and did this in this place, because that's exactly what he does at the end of chapter 7 and at the end of this passage. It says that immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went from where they were, in the Gentile territory by the Sea of Galilee, to the district of Dalmanutha. And so this is the same thing, feeding, miraculously, a large crowd, but instead of a Jewish audience, it's a Gentile audience. And so it makes sense that the closely similar details of the feeding of the 5,000 are completely what you'd expect. Jesus does the same thing in a different place. Everything is similar except for 2 things. The numbers are different, the number of loaves, the number of fishes, the number of baskets of leftovers, that's different. And the audience is different. Mostly Jews with the 5,000, mostly Gentiles with the 4,000. And you can be sure that Mark, when he wrote this gospel, and his eyewitnesses who he drew from to write this gospel, they are aware that these 2 things happen very close together. They know that that is how it happened. They're not surprised. It's not some silly mistake that Mark made putting the same account or story twice. And the reason it's here is because it really did happen. It's really based on eyewitness testimony. Eyewitnesses for the Jewish feeding of the 5,000 and eyewitnesses for the Gentile feeding of the 4,000. Jesus is the one who provides for both Jews and Gentiles. And we've been considering the past few weeks, as we've been in Mark's gospel, Jesus in the Gentile territory, And this is important to know because Jesus comes as the Savior and Messiah, not only for Jews, but also for Gentiles. And so there's a pattern. In everything leading up to Mark 6, Jesus, with Jewish audiences, does these things. He frees people from demonic oppression, and he heals people who have physical needs, and he feeds large groups of people miraculously. And now that he's in Gentile territory, he does the same thing. We looked at the Syrophoenician woman's daughter who had a demon oppressing her, and Jesus speaks the words, and she's freed. The man who was deaf and mute is able to speak and hear because Jesus heals him again in Gentile territory. And now a large group of Gentiles receive the food that they need. Their physical needs are met through Jesus and his miraculous supernatural intervention. And so those are some of the things that lead us up to this passage. And there are two things, and only two things, I want to focus on tonight. And that is this. Number one is Jesus' compassion, his love for the people. And number two, the role of disciples. Disciples then and disciples now. And so we'll start with Jesus' compassion. And this comes about because of a need. There is a need here in Gentile territory. We hear from Mark that the crowd has been with him for 3 days, and they have nothing to eat. Anything that they would have brought with them, they've gone through. They aren't bringing their igloo coolers or anything like that into this wilderness territory so that they have enough to eat for an indefinite period of time. They're coming because they want to hear Jesus. And they have now been there for 3 days and have great need. He's been teaching them, but they are starting to get hungry and restless. And to get to any food is going to be an arduous journey. And Jesus sees that need. You can see in verse 2, he says, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat." Jesus cares about people, and he cares about their needs. This is good to remember. We can sometimes over-spiritualize things, and I think there is a spiritual component to Mark 8, but see and hear plainly that Jesus cares about physical needs. He cares that the people are hungry. He cares that some of them might actually be in physical danger if they try to undertake a journey to get food, and so he sees the need to provide for their hunger. And so Jesus has compassion. I wonder if you need a reminder that Jesus has compassion for your needs. Like we said in talking about prayer, there's nothing too small to pray for. Jesus does care most and primarily about things that will last forever. And so your spiritual needs are most important and at the forefront of what you actually do need. But Jesus does care about your physical needs. If you have a lack, you can bring that to him. If you have a dire need or illness or hunger or some need for provision, you can bring your need to him. He does care. He will never leave his people without provision. There might be times where the storehouses get really, really low, and you wonder how he's going to do it, but he's never going to leave his people without things that they need. He will always provide. You can always trust in him. And so we need to see Jesus' compassion. And there's two ways. It is physical. He does see their physical need for food, but it's also spiritual. He's been there teaching them for 3 days, and he's teaching Gentiles. These are people who, probably because of where they live, so close to Jewish territory, they have some sense of all that Jesus is claiming for himself to be the Messiah who God promised his people Israel, who has now come. But they have been disconnected from that. They probably, if they knew anything about the Messiah, thought, well, he's coming for them and not for us. If he comes at all, he's going to come for them and not for us. But Jesus has gone to them and taught them. What has he taught them? Well, about who he is, about what he's come to do, about how he is at work for both the salvation of his Jewish people, but also the salvation of those who are far outside that circle. And so Jesus has compassion for both physical and spiritual needs. But the Gentiles gathered there that day are not the only ones with a need. You can see the disciples when Jesus talks about the need for these people to be fed. The disciples in verse 4 say, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" What do the disciples have a need of? Well, they have a need for greater faith and greater understanding of Jesus. I thought it was funny. This was a kind of an understated way. If you have an ESV study Bible, one of the notes for this passage says the disciples who have been with Jesus for another feeding of more people, the disciples, it says, are constantly captive to their own very limited frame of reference. That's their need. They know Jesus. They've seen him do this before, and they're encountered with the exact same situation, just in a different place. And they say, "Well, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed all these people? This is ridiculous. You expect us to figure out a way to feed this crowd? We don't have any food either." But Jesus is with them, and they should realize now who he is and that he will provide. He will act for the good of those in the crowd. The disciples, like us, have a very limited frame of reference. Have you ever come into a situation or been in a situation where you think, "Well, how are we going to do this? This is, humanly speaking, impossible." And maybe it is, humanly speaking, impossible, but we're not speaking humanly here. Have you ever had a need to serve God and you don't know how you can do it? Maybe you simply don't even feel like you have the energy to do it, or you don't have the wisdom to know what to do, or you think, "Well, this need must be filled by a certain amount of money or material or some other provision, and we just don't have it." But if God has called you into that situation, he is still in the business of providing for needs. So don't be captive to your own, like the disciples, very limited frame of reference. Because see what Jesus does, and this meets both needs. The people are hungry. The disciples lack understanding and lack faith, and Jesus, in what he does, meets both. You can see, just as he did in the feeding of the 5,000, he asks them, and one of the commentators on this passage says, there's a note of humor here in Jesus asking the very same thing with the very same words again, as he did in Mark 6. "How many loaves do you have?" Like, "Oh, we're going to do this again. You don't believe me. You don't believe I can do this. So how many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7. And the crowd sits down. And just as he did with the Jewish crowd, he took the loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And what does Jesus do here? He provides more than enough. There is, from these meager resources, there is more than enough for all the people to eat, to their satisfaction, have their hunger satisfied, and there's leftovers. Jesus is making it clear to the crowd that he's the one who provides, both for Jews and for Gentiles, and he's making clear to the disciples what should have sunk in not that long ago, that they can trust him and listen to him, and he will provide. You might remember back to the Syrophoenician woman who came and asked Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus said that it wasn't right for, he used the term dogs to describe Gentiles, for the dogs to take the children's bread, because the children, that is Israel, should be fed first. And you remember the way I think it's supposed to be understood is that's not Jesus being mean or saying something that is nasty or angry. It's Jesus saying, let me give you an opening so that I can show you how much I'm going to provide not only for my children Israel, but also for those who are far outside that circle. And the reason that I think that is in part because of what happens here. Jesus, to the woman, said, I can't give the children's bread to Gentiles. And he knew how she was going to respond and that he was going to provide for that need. And now, what is he doing? He is literally sharing the bread that he provides with a crowd of Gentiles. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to be the one who meets the needs of all people, and above all, the spiritual needs of people. Anyone who calls upon him by faith will find him to be the bread of life. This is why there's so much language here you probably recognize in what Jesus did with the bread. He had the crowd sit down, took the loaves, gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples. This is the exact same wording that's used in the Gospels and then in 1 Corinthians 11 for the Lord's Supper. And at the Lord's Supper, we remember Jesus giving himself to provide for our spiritual needs, for our spiritual hunger, our spiritual life. Jesus gives himself. He offers himself up as the sacrifice, the bread of life that is broken for the spiritual needs of this world, both Jews and Gentiles. And so see Jesus' compassion for both physical needs and above all for spiritual needs, but also see the role of the disciples. If you are a disciple, you are not one who walks the earth with Jesus back 2,000 years ago, but you do walk the earth with Jesus' spiritual presence if you are a disciple. And how often are we like the disciples here with a lack of faith, a lack of understanding, and low expectations for what Jesus can do? You might think, well, why should we plant a church in Southern California? All the Christians are leaving California. It's a terrible place to be, right? It's hard. It's expensive. The government seems to be increasingly against anything that is in any way Christian or in any way even true. It's a difficult place to be. Why would Jesus call us here and we have low expectations for what he can do? Through planting a church or through bearing faithful witness or through simply sticking it out in a place that is difficult. Jesus still provides for his people and for all their needs. The role of a disciple is to believe in him, to have faith in him, to trust in his power, to have high expectations, not for what you can do, but for what he can do, and to just listen to him, to do what he tells you. If you think to the story of the wedding at Cana, what does Jesus' mother Mary tell the attendants there? It says, listen to whatever he tells you. And that's what disciples should do, to just listen to whatever Jesus tells us to do and let him do the work. You don't have to make it all happen. He's the one who makes it happen. He's the one who brings about good things when it seems like there is nothing that, humanly speaking, can possibly be done. And so have great faith and confidence in him. To the words of Hudson Taylor, I think it's Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, is this: expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. That's the role of a disciple, to expect God to do great things, to expect God to bring your neighbors or your friends or co-workers or family members who are far from him, to expect God to bring some of them to faith, some of them who seem so far away to be brought near. And then, because you expect that, to attempt great things for God, to keep on going and sharing the gospel, to keep on faithfully loving your neighbor, even when they have no interest in what you believe, even when they might be completely opposed to what you believe, to expect great things from God and to attempt great things for God, because Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, the same Jesus who multiplied the bread and the fish to feed a crowd miraculously, is still able and still does work to bring about his church meeting the spiritual needs of the people around them. And so that's what we're called to be and to do, to be faithful disciples, not limited in our expectations, but trusting in Jesus, to expect great things from him and to attempt great things for him. And so let's go from here with both the compassion of Jesus and the faith of disciples to listen to him, do whatever he says, and see how he works. Will you join me now as we pray? Our gracious God, we do come and we know that we are often so much like your disciples, where we don't really believe that you'll provide. We don't really see how you can be at work in what seems like impossible circumstances. And yet, over and over again, in the Gospels and in church history and in our lives, you have shown that you are perfectly capable of meeting every need according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So help us to go from here with the love that Jesus has for people and with the faith that disciples should have in him, that we might make a difference in the world for the gospel, that our neighbors might hear and be brought into your kingdom through faith in Christ. So we pray all these things, that you go with us by your Spirit from here. In Jesus' name, amen.